This is the Web Strategies Podcast, a program dedicated to the technology and techniques of marketing your business on the Internet. This program, with program notes and links, is found on our show website at www.webstrategiespodcast.com. And now, the host of the Web Strategies Podcast, Internet marketing expert, Tom Anthony.
Hey, thank you, Joe Cipriano, and welcome everybody to this edition of the Web Strategies Podcast. I had a very interesting late night last night and day so far today. There was a bug, a Trojan, that was infecting the database banks of the company that I use to host my websites, and I have a lot of them. It really only affected the WordPress platform, which is, ironically enough, the topic that we discussed last week with Brian Walker of Warp 10 Media. And it was easily found and fixed, and it was there was nothing that I could have done to be more safe than I was. It was actually a security hole in Rackspace, which is one of the largest hosting providing companies. So I guess the only thing I can say is these things happen, but it was a lot of tedious work in repairing some blogs that were blown up. The one that was the worst affected was my music blog, which is at music.tomanthony.com. It was kind of a mixed blessing in terms of I got the blog rebuilt, and I actually found some music that I had produced that I hadn't uploaded, I had uploaded it and I hadn't put it in a post. So I added some new music to my my other podcast, which is also on iTunes, and it's called the Open Source Music Project. If you're in iTunes now, that just either look up my name, Tom Anthony, or look up the Open Source Music Project in iTunes, and you'll find that other podcast. And there'll be a link in the Web Strategies Podcast website back to the music website in case you want to hear some of or subscribe to the Open Source Music Project. Kind of an interesting thing. What I do with the Open Source Music Project, I found out a long time ago that, and I'm an amateur musician. Some people like it, some people don't, but, you know, isn't that true of anybody? But I found out a long time ago that when you record music, it's not really, unless you're in a band and it's a live recording, it's not really one sound that you hear. It's a combination of different tracks, soundtracks that are mixed together in certain ways. And depending on how in the past I have mixed the loudness or the right and left balance of, say, a guitar or a piano or a drum sound, really totally changed the sound of the song. And so since the sound is so different depending on the volume level of the various tracks, I decided to create a podcast in which I did my mixed version, but then I also offered for download the individual tracks that make up the song. And so it's been pretty amazing and very gratifying to see the number of people that download this stuff and on a regular basis. And some of the stuff that has been remixed and some stuff that has ended up actually in radio commercials. And one of the songs, which is called Leaning Westward, is the song that you heard at the open, and I usually play it out at the end. In other words, I usually play the entire song over the end of the podcast. So you'll find the downloadable versions of that at music.tomanthony.com. All right, so today's guest, it's kind of an interesting full circle for me because I started my career in broadcasting back in 1974. I had my first radio job. It was at a little radio station called WBAR in Bartow, Florida. And that's in Central Florida between Tampa and Orlando. And a little country station, daytime only. But anyway, that's where I got my first taste of media, and that's really been my profession in one shape, form, or another since 1974. I did manage a nightclub in New York in Long Island for 8 years, but that's kind of related in that it was an entertainment-type business. And even though some of my business interests over the past 10 years have included running internet companies, really, internet is the new media, so in a sense, I've been in media and entertainment for however many years that is, 30 or whatever it is. And my guest today is someone that I have met along the way as someone who used to do the same job that I did in radio, although he was at the top of the game where I was more in the bottom third or so. I was the the production director for a station called The Point in Hampton Roads area of Virginia. It's Norfolk, Virginia area, Virginia Beach, Virginia area. And the job that I had was to make all of the commercials, make sure they were there for the announcers to play them, and do creative work to have sounds and promotional announcements in between the songs and the commercials. So kind of an interesting job, actually. I really like that job. So my guest today kind of brings me full circle in this my story about broadcasting, because originally when we met, which was like 10 years ago, Rich Berner and I had a very similar job, although Rich was in Los Angeles and I was in the Norfolk, Virginia area. But we were both production directors for radio stations. Rich was at the Hot Talk station in Los Angeles and did a lot of other work that we'll talk about in a second as soon as I introduce him. And now he's the president of HotTalkLA.com, which is a evolution of the broadcast media into the internet. And as a web strategy, this made perfect sense to me to invite Rich Berner on as a guest on the Web Strategies podcast, because, well let me introduce him, and then we'll let him tell you the story.
Yep.
The reason that I invited you on is I talked to you recently. I was returning a VHS tape of you interviewing Ozzy Osbourne. How many years ago was that? I mean, that you did the tape.
Too many. 20 years ago.
Because the tape was old, yeah, and it was a VHS tape.
I just thought of that the other day. I was like, because it happened, and it was actually the beginning of June, but it was 20 years ago.
Wow.
So yeah, it feels like it was about, you know, 5 or 6, maybe 7, 8 years ago. But yeah, it was a long time ago. It was that was back at the beginning.
Yeah.
And you know, you do a little bit of everything, and do weekends on this station, and work full time at that station, and this job just came up from a bunch of people who broke away from the King Biscuit Flower Hour to do pay per view concerts.
And you know what the crazy thing is? That used to be my favorite program back when I was in high school, because it had the cool show of, you know, all of the like live kind of stuff from artists that were on the underground FM stations at the time.
Oh yeah, that's why it was so exciting. And at that point, the only pay-per-view things we'd ever seen were Howard Stern events, which were monstrously successful in New York anyway. And these people said, we're going to do pay-per-view concerts. And the first concert we're doing is Ozzy Osbourne and the Bullet Boys in Philadelphia. Would you be interested in co-hosting? I was like, and I was out of work at the time. I was driving a limo. And I said, yeah.
Hey, would you mind if I put a link to that video on the accompanying website to the podcast?
Sure, go ahead.
Because I think it's cool. It's, you know, obviously it's nostalgic. And
oh yeah, yeah. With my co-host Deborah Rath, who ironically last year I reunited with because she was hired for the CBS cluster to do the Wave out here in Los Angeles, and I hadn't seen her or talked to her really probably since right after that time.
Well, it just proves that the broadcasting industry and we'll talk about this more in a moment. And now the new media of the internet is really kind of a close-knit group of people when you're talking about former broadcasters. There's only but so many of us.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's smaller and smaller all the time as people, you know, as people were jumping off the ship when it started to burn in the late 90s. There's fewer and fewer survivors gathered on the island.
Well, that's exactly my story. I mean, I was working in Norfolk, Virginia. When you and I first met, we met through one of my longtime clients. He said, really, he's a friend because I've known him that long now. But Joe Cipriano, who is just won the Don LaFontaine Award, which is pretty cool.
It should be the Joe Cipriano Award for guys.
Yeah, because he's done it all. He's really put together a huge effort out on the in the Los Angeles area to pay homage to the late, great Don LaFontaine. But when we first met, you and Joe Cipriano and I, beside being in broadcasting, all had something kind of in common. We were really early adopters of the internet. You were one of the first people that I know of that had audio and video on the internet to talk about the kind of talents and services that you perform. Back then, I mean, I don't know, this is going back 10 years, I don't know how technical to get here, but Back then, we were using a platform called Real Media because it was the only one out.
Right,
you couldn't really download an AVI or a WAV file because they were just too big to use on the internet. But I think that, like a lot of us, you've come, you've traveled a long way. When we first met, you were the production director of KSLX in Los Angeles, which for many years was the top hot talk station, FM talk station.
Yep, and, yeah, it's actually KLSX, but that's okay.
Thank you, because I'm dyslexic and I don't have it in front of me anyway.
Okay.
I saw it, right?
It was KLSX because before it was talk, it was classic rock, and they called it classics.
Okay. But now things have changed in the broadcasting world, and you've kind of, although you still do a lot of creative work, you've used the internet now to move from a situation that was really not a good one and in the broadcasting industry to one that's really interesting to me. You've moved into an internet-based radio programming business. So, yeah, if you would, why don't you let us know what happened in the broadcasting end of the business and how that led to HotTalkLA.com?
Yeah, it was 97.1, the FM talk station in Los Angeles, and it was successful for many years, hugely successful. And a few years back, our mandate from up above was, and wisely so, let's make this a huge web presence. Let's increase our web presence and become, you know, an online media center. We did that. We went ahead with streaming, putting every show up as a podcast available for everybody. We didn't charge anybody. We didn't make any money off of it, as most people aren't at this point. But we also started creating little video segments. I went and started producing video for Danny Bonaducci, was our midday show, and I started doing Danny Bonaducci 2 minutes, with Danny of 2 minutes of wisdom with Danny Bonaducci, which was ironic and funny. And doing this off the mic series with our other midday hosts, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, where basically it was like a little mini sitcom, these little 5 minute podcast sitcom type things, following their lives and their, you know, their fantasies and their dreams and things like that. And, you know, we were getting hundreds of thousands of views on these videos as well. So I knew from doing that, that, you know, this works. It absolutely works. And we kept trying to convince corporate that this would work as well. However, once you get into the layered corporate, now, you know, CBS, you know, is still probably one of the better radio companies to work for. But once you get into those corporate layers, it's tough. It's just tough to adapt anybody to adapt anything new. CBS is, I was involved a lot with CBS's Interactive Music Group. That's their online people. But they were involved putting together Last FM and doing a lot of music projects. And I was helping them with that. And I kept trying to pitch talk. I kept trying to pitch talent-based stuff, but they're still not there yet. However, when CBS decided it cost too much to run Hot Talk LA, and they needed to put on more of a jukebox because they wanted to just cut to bare bones, as many radio companies did, even though we had number one ratings middays and afternoons, we basically got knocked off the map because it cost so much to put together a good talk station. You got to pay the talent, you got to pay producers, you got to pay creators, programmers, you know, everything like that. And we got knocked out, you know, with a thank you for doing a good job. We appreciate what you did for us, but we need to move to a different tactic right now. And they put on a station that went after Kiss FM, a jukebox that went after Kiss FM, and did a great job putting a dent in them. From that, coming off that, I knew right now, I was like, I saw the state of radio, and I was like, well, I could work another radio job, but it feels like I'm just jumping onto another sinking ship of sorts. The place to be is the internet. That's where the growth is. That's where, you know, I saw the dedication and everything else. It just has to be approached differently. I was able to, my relationship with CBS Interactive Media, I was able to actually convince them to hire me and one of the guys who worked in my department, Rob Frazier, to be their creative department, because they have to do creative for AOL Radio, Yahoo Radio, and all the CBS Interactive Radio and Last FM. So right now, if you listen to Last FM or any AOL Radio, you'll hear me all over there. I do that from home. And that's how I convinced them. I said, Rob and I both have home studios. You can pay us X amount, which was obviously not our previous salary, but enough to make it worthwhile for us and get us medical coverage, and we can work from our home studios and then continue to pursue other things. And they were like, we love it. Let's do it. So basically, you know, both of our commutes now are from our bedroom to a back bedroom to do our work for CBS. While that was going on, I was also trying to create an online kind of talk station. And that went through various stages and forms. The former IT director, interactive director at KLSX, had left to go to the Directors Guild and do the same job over there. He and I bonded doing all these sitcom things and everything else over the time, and he was sold on it as well. So he kept building and building and building. I kind of stepped back from it a little bit when some of the talent backed away, and he came back to me last fall and said, I'm ready to launch this. I've got some talent on there. It's not the, you know, it's not the A-plus talent, you know, A-list talent that we had there, but these are decent shows and these are good, and I have, you know, they've got followings. Do you want to come back aboard? And I was like, you know, I have a job. I have medical insurance. I didn't have to, you know, it wasn't, to me, it was a no-lose proposition, because that's what I saw as being the future. So, yeah, we started building hottalkla.com. And we've got, if you go to the site, you'll see we've got, you know, we've got between 10 and 15 shows. I only say that because we're adding constantly. Some leave us, but it's not that kind of quick turnover, but we're constantly adding shows. We've got one of the most recent shows we added was the Hip Step Lounge, just a hip hop show with the son of Africa Bambaataa and his brother and his friends. And they already have a following. They already had a show, and we met with them, and they were very excited to come aboard and be part of this whole group. And they actually came and broadcast live with us last weekend. We did LA's Gay Pride Festival. We had a booth out there and broadcast live all weekend, and had a bunch of the shows come down and broadcast live from there. So, you know, it's yeah, that's a kind of a typical radio thing they did in the past, but it's not typical radio when you go there, because it's all podcasts that can be downloaded right now. And ultimately what we'll have is live streaming. We'll probably have a couple of hours live every day, and then podcasts built around it. So it's just fresh, constant, new, fresh, constant, new. And the ultimate goal after that would be to get video on there, little video pieces.
Well, what's the business model on it? Because, you know, it looks like from, you know, without considering the reward aspect of it, it looks like you're right on the mark in terms of being able to provide this service to the public. But how are you making your money back on expenses on that?
Ultimately, we will make money. We make money through, there will be some advertising money. You know, you have your basic, you know, regular ads will run. We have product placement within the show. All of our ads are going to be, we target them as being endorsement ads, because they work way better than the typical 30-second ad, because people are so accustomed to tuning those out. You know, it takes too long, even for a good 30-second ad. It takes too many times through. And in a podcast world, you won't get that. You won't have that. It's not like they're sitting in, you know, their office with the thing just playing in the background, not paying attention. You know, they're paying attention to the podcast. However, the ultimate idea for this, for any of these things, and what freaks people out is a sort of subscription model. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean everything will, something has to be free. You have to continue to give them the free product. You can't offer, it's not like bait and switch, you're going to offer the free and then take it away from them. But what you want to do is give them to get the extras, you spend pennies a month, and you do it through volume.
Well, it's a working model. I mean, if you look at O'Reilly has it, Glenn Beck has it, there's a number of other just radio-only guys that have some kind of like a club or a subscription to the back end of their website where they show... Rush Limbaugh is another one where they show video of the radio program while it's being broadcast, and then you get to download the podcast in its entirety. Like then,
right? And with our model too, it's like, and again, we, like I said, we built the programming end of it first. We had the ideas of how we're going to make money and business wise. We built the programming part of it first because that's what we all know, and now we're continuing to build the business part of it beyond that, you know, because all of us have jobs, so we didn't need to worry, oh crap, if we don't have money in 60 days, we're screwed. So we could concentrate on the artsy part of it first, which is unusual in this day and age.
Well, especially on that scale. I mean, Now, you may not think it's A-list because you're in Los Angeles, but to the rest of the country, you're in Los Angeles. It's the number two market. So, I mean, these are really top flight. And I listened to your show, too, by the way, the two guys in a mic.
Yes.
Tell us about that, too.
Well, you know, two guys in a mic. Basically, Ken, my partner Ken Hastings, and I have known each other since I hired him in Orlando before I got to L.A., when I worked at Real Radio, the FM talk station that KLSX modeled itself after.
Mm-hmm.
When I worked there, we did weekend music there, and the weekend was alternative music. I chose that because this was the early 90s, and everybody had an alternative Sunday night show, but nobody was ballsy enough to put on full-time alternative. We couldn't blow off our talk because it was just starting to happen, but the weekend at that point had been handed to me were just, you know, Muzak type weekends. And I said, screw that. I started bringing in my records from home, carting them up because I was a huge alternative music fan, and made it an alternative station and hired kids off the air from the local college station that I used to listen to. It was the only source of alternative music I had in the market. literally called a few of them up during their show and said, hey, you know, it's Rich Berner from here from Real Radio 104.1. Of course, they don't believe me. Who is this? Jimmy, is this you? Blah, blah. I said, look, I've listened to you for a couple of weeks now. I think you got what it takes. I want you to come down. I'm looking to fill some weekend slots. If you want this job, be here at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. You know, and they showed up, and, you know, most of them got hired. And some of them, you know, one of them is still working in Orlando. He worked there he became my music director and worked there for many years. Another one became a talk show host and was very popular doing a late night show there and an overnight show. And then ultimately his morning show replaced Howard Stern when Howard Stern went to, went to Sirius.
Wow.
For CBS. So, yeah, I mean, and it's not like, you know, I'm like, hey, I'm the talent maker. I thought these people were entertaining. And since I'm not particularly a talk radio fan, I've always been a music fan. So talk radio, you've got to be really compelling and entertaining to keep me interested. And which might have been good because I'm the target for these FM talk stations. FM talk stations are not going after the people who are addicted to Rush Limbaugh. They're going after the people who are addicted to either the rock station in town, the classic rock station in town, the alternative station in town, whatever it be. They're going after music fans. So you've got
People who are not willing to listen to nonstop commercials or, right, you know, nothing but pre-written PSA cards in between music sets. And you used a phrase at the beginning of the interview where you were talking about how the station went into a kind of a jukebox. And I think everybody can relate to that.
Yes.
My last radio job, which was working at a station in Virginia Beach called The Point. And I was a production guy, so then they had multiple stations. So I was on The Point, and I was on another station called WFOG, which was an easy listening station. But anyway, my job was, besides doing production, was sitting there babysitting the automation equipment and putting in just the opens and closes so that, you know, they could then put it on automatic pilot, and they only had one person on the weekend instead of four because they own four radio stations. It was weird, you know?
Yeah, just it's that's so disheartening. It's so.
Well, no, because, you know, look at what you've done. And, you know, you've taken the background that you had in broadcasting and you've brought it to the internet. And it looks like you're starting to see some good successes. And that's part of the purpose of your being on the podcast today.
So I mean,
we're just moving on, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and Ken, I was talking about, you asked me about Ken. I said, he and I always stayed friends. He was in Orlando, and he, you know, like everybody else in LA, or at least 80% of them, he's a screenwriter.
Right.
And he won a screenwriting award and got his movie produced. It's a movie originally called Dog, D-A-W-G, and now called Bad Boy. It runs on HBO every now and then. A lot got changed once the studio got a hold of it. But he has a movie produced that starred Dennis Leary and Elizabeth Hurley, so that's all he can say. And he ended up out here in L.A. And, again, we stayed friends, talked to each other, and he spins as a DJ at nights in some places. And when he had come to me before the state, KLSX even went away and said, we got to do something together. We're having lunch one day. We got to do something. We got to do a show or do something. And he kept pushing. I was just like, I didn't have the time with that was going on and everything else. And once I was the work at home guy, I was like, hey, you want to do that thing we talked about? I was like, yeah, let's do a show. And it was just from there, it's been basically we figure it out each week as we go.
Well, and that's how it works. I mean, you know, when you're working, and I consider this broadcasting, although you're really broadcasting using a different delivery method, it's still broadcasting. But when you're in broadcasting, you can't think up this stuff but so much in advance because you're on all the time.
Right. Yeah, and like I said, the beauty of it is, and the reason why I like doing it is, it's because we don't do it every day. We don't have to do it every day. We do it because we like to do it. We do it because it's entertaining us. And that's what I always did, even when I produced. I mean, there were stuff that you had to do that had to be done. It was necessary to do because it was update stuff and everything. But the stuff I really enjoy doing was creating things that made me laugh.
Well, you had a whole, and I think maybe I'll even ask you to give me your permission to use specific ones. But you had a whole, like, CD full of hilarious bits, like phony commercials or, you know, but they were just really vignettes of really funny stuff that you did the production and a lot of the voicing on. And it was just hysterical stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that kind of fell by the wayside again, the way radio went in, you know, from about the year 2004 on, especially with after the whole Janet Jackson thing. I couldn't get away with a lot of that stuff. And they just felt like, we got to streamline less of that stuff. So this show also gives me an opportunity to put together more of things like that that I used to love to do. I mean, there's a bunch that I've done in there. The most recently was, I can remember we were talking about Nagasaki, the musical, which probably, it's a little harsh. Yeah, but it's something that came up at my mom's funeral. We were talking about, I had mentioned some reason mentioned it was like my mom's death date, and she died 13 years ago. But I remember being at her wake, and somebody had a newspaper, and Titanic the musical was just debuting on Broadway. And I was like, I was horrified. I was like, Titanic? Because the movie hadn't even come out yet at that point, it had just come out. I was like, Titanic the musical? What kind of numbers are you going to have while you're drowning in the ice water? And I thought, what's next? Nagasaki the musical? And I started making up songs for Nagasaki the musical. And this last year, we brought them to life. I even had my kids sing on them.
Well, the one question I want to do in terms of bringing it back to as internet strategy is, what kind of ways do you, beside, you know, things like this where you're just putting yourself out there, what kind of ways do you use right now to promote the show, the two guys on and a mic and the hottalkla.com? I mean, I know you also have a creative business, rbcreative.com, and I'll put that link up there too. But how are you using the internet to promote listenership and participation in some of these events?
Through Hot Talk LA, most of it has been done by Jack Sullivan's the name of the IT guy who and is he's the founder of Hot Talk LA. He's the guy I worked with back at KLSX. And most of our marketing has been in, I don't even fully understand it. I always feel like, I feel like I'm a cold trickle in that Tom Cruise in that movie, Days of Thunder. I can drive this thing. I don't know how to wire it. He has set up so many links, and he explained it, these links that we set up that basically are ways that just send us to the top of search engines. You would probably know way better than me about this. Again, I should know more about it, but I go, okay, that's great. Now let me do what I do best.
Well, no, so this is part of it because you're going to have some links back to your both the websites from the podcast site, which is in iTunes.
Each one of the shows has about 600 links to it each time that he's gone and set up so that it just gets fired out all over the place. We haven't done any traditional advertising or anything yet, just because we started. We got to the point about a point a few months ago where we were thinking about doing it, and we had some changes with our talent and everything else. Some major changes, which actually worked out better for us, and probably better for the talent that left us too. But so we're probably targeting for the fall to start hitting. And traditionally, we want to hit a lot of the. There's a lot of we can advertise on some of the internet places. Maybe on CBS where I work, perhaps Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, who used to be on They were one of the biggest. They were the biggest internet presence on KLSX. They have their own internet thing through KABC where they are now. We've already talked to them about buying ads there, and they're cheap because radio's selling internet ads for like $20 a pop. It's crazy.
When I first got it broadcasted, they were like that.
Oh yeah, well I mean, for radio, I understand that. If you talking smaller markets, but Los Angeles,
I know.
A midday show in Los Angeles, and I can buy an ad that's going to go on the internet because they just consider that, well, that's internet, for $20 a pop?
No, I'm talking about Bartow, Florida, which wasn't even in the top 100 markets. So, was $20 back in the 70s. So $20 in LA is not bad. What about the use of like Facebook and Twitter and some of the social media?
Yeah, but yeah, we've all got Twitter accounts, and you know, I make Ken do my tweeting. For me, I'm pretty adamant about that. You're my tweeter, dude. I said, and we've all got Facebook, and we've got a Facebook account on, you know, for Hot Talk LA, and you know, we basically the last, I don't have this month's past stats because it takes a while to compile them. The last month's stats, we had 1.9 million downloads of all our shows.
Oh my God!
So you know, and that's combined. I mean, some you know, there were some shows that had a huge amount, and some shows that had a small amount. But still, that's 1.9 million people, and the average visitor was staying for 21 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, they were staying for 21 minutes, and they were going to eighteen different pages.
There's no way to relate that back to radio, but do you remember in the old days of radio when you would look at Arbitron ratings, which was the kind of the Nielsen company for radio broadcasting, and then there would be quarter hour shares. So time that, right? That's like 3/4 hours of your average time. And holy cow, that's a lot of people. I thought, you know, the podcast in total is somewhere around 21,000 downloads, which I thought, you know, for just some guy in Norfolk, Virginia, that's not bad. But in the millions is a lot better than in the thousands.
Yeah, but that's a combined number of, you know, podcasts. I'd say our biggest show pulls in about 500,000.
Wow.
So I mean, it's just like, you know, just like your radio station. Our morning show is a 6 share, and that night we have a 1.7. You know, whatever. I mean,
but still, you know, and I don't think that. That being in LA, you're able to appreciate as fully, perhaps, sitting in Norfolk, Virginia, the 500,000 number. I mean, because I know it's a national market, and you're not just getting LA, but you've got this huge local market to draw from, where you've got name recognition and local involvement, and then that just feeds the feed being. Another word for a podcast download, but feeds the flame of that kind of download number. That's incredible. That's really, really incredible.
Yeah. And then, you know, and as the internet is, as we get, like, I know specifically for Two Guys and a Mic, like we had Justin Halpern, who does, I don't know if you censor stuff, the SH apostrophe T, my dad says, the Twitter site and the book and now the CBS miniseries. We had him on last week, so we've got a link to him, and you know, we get a link back, so we get a bunch of hits there. And that, I mean, it's so commando. It's so like we, you know, the old days of we went out to the mall and we papered all the cars with our radio station and a chance to win. You know,
right.
But that's the way it works. That's the way you got to do it.
That is the way it works, and especially now, because everything, I think that the, you know, one of the biggest things that this podcast is about is that it's all different. I mean, everything. And marketing is all different now, and it's really a digital age, and it's really refreshing to hear some of the stories that you've been telling today and equate them with my similar kind of professional background into what people need to do today to become successful in this century, and using the internet and using the social networking phenomena that is obviously not going to go anywhere. I mean, it's just getting bigger.
Yeah.
So, Rich, offline, I'm going to ask to see if there's maybe at least one or two of those old comedy bits that I can link to. I have them all in my file because I just sent them to you not too long ago. But I can't tell you how much I appreciate you jumping on the podcast with me.
And I want to wish you my sincere wishes for the best of luck to HotTalkLA.com and your Two Guys in a Mic program. And, of course, folks will be able to find links to both websites here on the companion website, which is WebStrategiesPodcast.com. Rich, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom. Have a great day.
Thank you, Rich Berner. And, of course, we'll have those links to Rich's websites, including his professional site. But we'll give you links to his radio talk show, Two Guys and a Mic, and also to Hot Talk LA, and let you see some of his work. And that's going to do it for another Web Strategies podcast. I'm very pleased that we've been able to produce the show in a more frequent, timely manner in the last several weeks, and we look forward to keeping up that pace. I'm looking at doing one show a week, depending on if I get something that's interesting. I'm not going to put a 30-minute program together if it's not going to be interesting to you or worthwhile to you, so I wouldn't waste your time like that. But hopefully, and it looks like we will be able to continue this pace, we're going to do a new podcast every week, and we'll probably launch them on Wednesdays, just because that's how it's working out. And as always, I totally welcome your comments. You can give me a direct email at tom@webstrategiespodcast.com or tom@tomanthony.com if you like. All right, so I'm going to say goodbye. Joe Cipriano is going to say a couple of things. And then on the far side of that, I hope you enjoy the original recording that's the theme song to the Web Strategies podcast, which is a song that I produced myself. And I hope you like it. It's called Leaning Westward, the full version available for you download at music.tomanthony.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for downloading or subscribing and listening to this episode of the Web Strategies Podcast. Send show comments and questions to info@webstrategiespodcast.com. You can subscribe to the Web Strategies Podcast on iTunes or on our show website at www.webstrategiespodcast.com.